It was great when we were sitting around the table having a meal. The fact that we were kind of filling every chair around the table, it's great to see that. And as Paul said, you know, just having the whole family, most of the family back, in essence, was nice to see that. And Brian, thank you very much for cooking. This morning I went out with the boys and we were playing a bit of snowball fights, and neighbors down the road, their boys were out as well. And the people in the road came out and they look at us and they go and they said, "Oh, stop bullying the children." And come on, it's a snowball fight. So we were running up and down the road, picking up little snow was left. But we were having a fantastic time. And then, afterwards we went into the house and the dad made us all hot chocolate, you know. I mean, come on. It's cold, hands are freezing. So we're chatting there, and he says, "Oh, what are you doing today?" I said, "Oh, well, we've got to go to church now. We've got to leave." He said, "Oh, afternoon church?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Oh, we're going to have our lunch together, and then we're going to have preach, and then we'll have..." And it's a great time, just family. And he felt that for the church he's going to, he doesn't really see that, you know, a family kind of aspect of the church, which he misses. And we keep inviting him. We say, "Oh, come on, bring the kids, you know, come and turn up." But that's, we are just so blessed in having an opportunity. I mean, before Gail and I came here, we were, as most of you probably, church was in the morning. And you find that in the church in the morning you go, and there's a rush to get there. You get home, you have your lunch. Well, for the women, it's a kind of rush to get the meals going, everything. And by the time you have your lunch and the meal, your day is gone because you're so tired of just rushing around a meal. And you end up hardly doing anything the afternoon. It's great. I can do things in the morning now. You know, then I can relax the rest of the day. But it's just family. It's just become so important, especially in the world that we live in. You know? And what I'm going to preach on is actually a very important part of the family, and especially in the church. And I'm going to speak about equality in the church. So what I would like to do is, if you could just go to Genesis 1, verse 26 to 27, please. And if somebody could read that for me. Genesis 1, 26 to 27.
Okay. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Okay?
Thank you. It's amazing that when you look at those initial verses of when we talk about God's creation, that after he made the world and he made everything in the world and he decided, you know, now it's time to make man. You know, he says he made man in his image, and you know, he gave him rule over everything. But the fact is, it says here that he speaks about not just man as we would see it, male, but he speaks in the same sentence about male and female. And it was just God's plan right in the beginning of how he saw whom he created. He didn't see them different in any way. He saw them as his creation, and he made it in his image. Now, I know we relate to God as a father and as a male aspect, but for the word to actually say that God created male and female in his image. You know, those verses 27, it says here, "So God created mankind in his own image." And then he says again, in the image of God, he created them. And then a third time he talks about male and female, he created them. Just thrice an affirmation of God's creation. And God says, you know, I've made male and female in my image. Now, I know we live in a world and it's difficult for people to kind of see that and say, but in the teaching in the church over the years, or even any kind of Christian aspect, people always see that male is given one view and female given another view. And I'll get onto that in a moment, but it's just that initial thing of God's creation, you know, God's affirmation three times of his creation. You know, he created man and woman in his image. And then, of course, in as much as he spoke about, you know, creating God created in his own image, you know, that verse is in 26. God created them with a purpose of looking after this world, you know, a purpose together, working hand in hand to look after this world. And I think sometimes just to lay the ground and say, this is what God's intention, this is what God's plan was, you know. I know we look at things so differently over the years, over history, and that, and especially in other countries. And I think in India, especially where Ben has just been a history of thousands and thousands of years, but them is still very much, the male is very much the dominant and the woman has really got no rights. And there's still lots of countries as such where it's just the culture of how things are. But I want to look at it, the whole thing of saying, well, what does God say? What does God say within the equality of male and female, and how does it all fit together, and how do we portray that? So, yeah, I think very much so, you know. Now, it's difficult, I think, when you look and you say, but we see God as the Father. How can you say male and female was created in his image? But if you read through the Word, there's such a maternal aspect of God that comes through in so many different parts of the Bible. You know, we speak about the fatherhood of God, the one side of it. And if someone could just go to the polling for me, please, in Luke. Yeah, just let me just bring up that. Sorry. In Luke 13:34, and then also if somebody can look at Matthew 23:37 as well, please. If someone could really read Luke for me, please, 13:34. Anybody?
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets.
Sorry?
Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Yes.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing.
Yeah. Now, just that part of the verse which says, you know, the hen gathers her chicks. If you could just read Matthew 23:37, please, Mark. Yeah.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing.
We read these verses, and that's just one of the things that talks about a part of God that sometimes we miss. You know, it relates to himself as a hen gathering his chicks. That is a maternal thing, you know. God's feminine side, maternal side, is just so evident through the Bible throughout. You know, I mean, in the Song of Moses, you know, it speaks about God giving birth. You know, now it's amazing that, sorry, this is kind of falling backwards. That's better. We look at the Bible, and yes, we do see, and it speaks about God the Father, God the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit. But the word says in Genesis, God created us in his image, male and female. Then God has got to be, there's got to be something within the female that's from God. You know, God is the creator of all things. You know, nothing that ever exists, that will ever exist in this world, cannot be outside God's scope. If we believe in the sovereignty of God and God being God, you know, then how does we look at the whole thing of male and female, you know, without looking at God? Yes, we can relate to God as God the Father and God the Son, you know, but we mustn't forget that we are created, all of us, male and female, in his image. I don't know how that works, you know. I'm not a female, you know. And as long as I've been married, even in the short time, and as long as I've been alive, even in my half a century, I still don't understand females. But that's fine, you know. That is fine. But God created male and female. So at the point, God had an idea that all of us are equal in his sight. He's created us. You know, it goes on further in Genesis and speaks about, you know, how God created the male and then creates the female. You know, speaks about using the rib and all of that. But look at what the actual beginning part, those verses, created in God's image. You know, and I think we must not forget that. And I think we can kind of skip all over all the other things and think, hold it. This is how we see things. But let's go back right to what God says right at the beginning. Now, just after that happened, after God created male and female, and he gave them dominion, and he says, you guys, look after my earth. I've given you the authority to rule over all the earth. He didn't say, man, I give you the authority to look all over the earth. You know, God spoke about the authority first, and then he spoke about the male and female that he's creating. So we all have equal, responsibility in looking after this earth. You know, it's not a male, it's not a female thing. It's the mankind that God has created. We have all got that responsibility. And even that, God has just given their equality. Now, I know over the years, we look at and we think, oh, we've had, leaders of countries, male, female. Yeah, and that will happen, you know, through the ages. But not to just look at the hierarchy or whoever's ruling the country, but to look at ourselves and saying, yes, God wants all of us to look at that responsibility with equal views and not feel that because that's the male, they got more responsibility than me. Or even that's the female. But in some countries, females are seen as the lowest of lowest, and all they're ever good for is looking after everything else. The Eskimos, the men are the hunters, and that's all they do. They hunt, get the food on the table, and then that's it. All the other menial tasks, the stuff, the mean stuff, that's all they bred for. That's what the Eskimos sees that, you know. Like I said, being in India, cultures in Africa, different cultures where women are just seen as, this is where you are. You know, it speaks about different aspects of those points, and I think that's where we get to the whole thing of the second point I'm making, just the distorted, the whole view of females are distorted by the fall. Now, we all know the story of what happened with Adam and Eve, you know, and them not listening to God, and then really falling into the trap of what the devil set before him, you know. And God says to them in Genesis 3:14, so God, you know, speak to the sermon, gives this, the serpent, yeah, and does all of that. And then he says in 17, 16, to the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe, and your with painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Just within a few verses as we see it, that whole view of what God had intended has changed by the fall, and that's when it all became distorted. And of course, man ends up, you know, having to toil the earth, you know, and just be in every aspect, the male and female, their relationship with God completely broken down, and the relationship to one another, you know, as equal partners before God, just gets totally distorted by what happened at that the fall. Now, in the Hindu culture, this is India, like, you know, men are seen as being the lord and the master of the wife. Yeah, that's how it sees. That's what they talk about, more lord and master, you know. And if you've read any books or seen anything about how people see lord and master, and even for in this own country, years back, going back of where men were seen at this level and women were just seen it at another level completely. In the, the Islam, Quran, you know, it speaks about men as being superior to women. And as I related earlier about the story of the Eskimos, you know, it says, you know, women are trained to do all manner of mean tasks. That's what Eskimos, trained all manner of mean tasks, cleaning, washing, raising children, that the men has got. I hunt, I put the food on the table, and that's it. That's all they do. You know, they don't clean the food, they don't prepare the food. They just put it that, and that's what they did. But the women do all the other tasks. Setting up, if they moved around, the women were the ones that put the buildings up, pull it down, and that, essentially. Now, it's no different in one ways from how we would think of during the time of Jesus. We hear the stories of women were treated as such. And even if we look in the Old Testament, we think, but wasn't that how things happened after the fall during the Old Testament times? But, you know, it's amazing that when you read through the Old Testament times, it speaks that even after that, the fall of how the relationship between man and women went, that there is so much that we will look to now, today, that even came out then. And it speaks, you know, of the covenant community in Deuteronomy 31:12. You know, everybody, the male and the female, we're all part of an important covenant community. So even then, different things, rules and the laws that God had brought through Moses and that, there were things that God would bring in and started saying, come on, let's look at it differently. Women are important as part of the family. You know, marriage, God instituted the marriage, you know, through Moses as such, and the high importance that marriage was placed. Last week, Dave spoke about, you know, in the Jewish culture, that when a man and a woman became engaged, you know, that commitment, it was basically marriage. You know, they were engaged even before they formally became married. That was it. You know, there's no way they could get out of it. And it's just that whole importance. Today, marriage is not really seen as important. You know, people can go to a court, get married in a court, but they can just so easily go to the court and just get divorced. You know, we live in a culture where people just live together and they accept that, you know, and laws will come in and say, well, these people have just as much rights as a married couple, you know. But what I'm trying to bring is the fall that happened after Adam and Eve has basically distorted God's initial plan of male and female and the equality in it. And it's difficult if you look around and you read so many different books, and even in Christian books as well, you can look at it and you think, what view do I take? what's the equality? Where does it all fit? How does man and women fit together? You know, are we equal or not? Now, even in the Old Testament, you know, it spoke about God's view of women very importantly. We speak of Hannah, Abigail, Naomi, Ruth, Esther. I mean, Old Testament women that stand out. You know, God's view of women was high, very, very high. Even though in the culture at the time, there was a big difference. God's testimony through the Bible just speaks how God sees the importance of that. You know, and even in the whole laws of Moses and those things, God made widows important. He said, care for them. You know, it doesn't say about widowers, it doesn't say about the men, it said about the widows. And it's just, it's important. You know, you look at that and you think, hold it, God is trying to say something here. Your culture, Israel's culture, whatever the culture of the time was, wherever in the world you were, God was saying, that's how you see your culture. But this is what I want you to see. I want you to see how important women are. You know, and because of what happens to widows when their husband dies, nothing. They don't get anything. They can't work. They can't do anything. And it's just, guys, look after them. They are important. You know. I feel that sometimes we look at that and we think to ourselves, but how does that all fit in today? I'm speaking of an Old Testament time. We talk about a modern culture. We just spoke about Sheila earlier, you know, and, you know, Sheila's at the point now, she's all on her own, essentially. You know, what do? We have care homes, we do that. Certain cultures, you know, might still happen in this country, but I know, especially maybe in Africa to a large extent, where the family still live together. The old people, the grandmothers, great-grandmothers, they still live within the context of the family. So they just get looked after automatically, you know. We have a very much different culture in saying women, you know, get to a point, they're not as looked after. But I suppose it applies to men as well. Getting to a certain age, we're going to look after all of them. But I want to just speak specifically on the views of how the world sees women, yeah, and how God sees women. New Testament. I know we might think differently on this, Mary. You know, when God chose Mary, you know, the word says, blessed are you among women. I know certain Christian religions will make much more of Mary and say, oh, she's so important. That Mary was important. She was the mother of Jesus, God's chosen. She was blessed, you know. But that's it. She was blessed. She was a chosen woman, you know. She's not in the same line as God at all. And I think we all know that. But I think it's just God's view. God could have brought Jesus onto this earth any way he wanted to. He could have just said, there's Jesus in a flash, you know. But he decided to use a woman. With the birth, Jesus came as a little child there, but it's through the woman. And I know that the distortion of the fall where women had to go through the childbirth, you know, that all had to be going through for God's word to be true. But yeah, Mary was important, you know. Now comes the good part. Three, the change. And as much as the Old Testament, and I said about the great women that God had raised up, that God had used, and about the laws, marriage, you know, looking after women, you know, and, you know, Song of Songs, you know, that whole love story, and just the importance of the relationship between man and women. as such that God just wanted to remind us of what it means to be male and female. We look at all of that, and now comes Jesus. What does Jesus do? Does Jesus introduce a new law? Does Jesus say, okay, the fall, it's all finished. We now are equal. There's no way in the word that speaks about that and about that equality between man and women. It's Jesus' attitude. It's Jesus' attitude to women. We can't make laws that are going to say men and women are equal when things in our hearts, things in our minds are not going to change and not going to accept it. And Jesus changed that. Jesus was the one that spoke to the woman caught in adultery. Unheard of. He spoke to the woman at the well, you know, a Samaritan woman. He's supposed to be a teacher of the law, a rabbi. And he goes, and his attitude to women is so changed. And how he sees that, and how God places that importance of the equality between men and women. You know, for Joss, Dave, and ourselves as leaders in the church, and I think as anybody as a married couple, I know how important it is for myself that whatever I do, I want to have my wife support me. My wife is not just supporting me, my wife is my partner. And that's in a church we want to see, you know, that thing that God originally stated right at the beginning of Genesis. I've made male and female in my image. Gail has got strengths that I do not have. I cannot do and be who I am without my wife. Just as I would expect that who Gail is and who she is now at the moment is because of our relationship and who we are. And it's just that equality we look at to work as a couple. Now sometimes you think, but what about me? If I'm not married, how do I fit into that? Where does my relationship come into that? You know, but it applies the same. It's how you see every other woman as such, their importance, you know, that they are one of, God wants to use them as much as he wants to use you. And that their gifts are just as important, and it's all about working together. As in Genesis, right at the beginning, God gave them dominion over everything. Not man dominion. God gave them dominion over everything. And that's, God wants us as a church to be equal in being able to just share, to grow, to work, move in the gifts that God has in store for us. Now, I know that a few weeks ago, Joss had spoken about eldership and certain things in the church, and I think it's important just to raise that. God does place certain things in place, and he says, you know, this is an elder, and then, but there's other leadership aspects of that God wants to bring for us to understand. But the church in its whole, in an entirety, as Ben reminded us, is not a building. It's each one of us. And we have all got such an important part to play in seeing this church grow. You know, when we had that little thing that went around, it says, what do we as a church want to offer the community? And we had people write down what they can do. It says, oh, I can do ironing. I can do shopping for somebody. You know, things here that we can do and where we can see I've got the time or that's a gift I can offer in different ways. That is what the church is all about, you know. The church is not about the person leading up front. The church is about each one of us. And I suppose this morning, and as much as you know, I'm bringing the whole thing about the equalities, just to push that forward saying, sometimes you get women leading certain aspects in the church because they are the best at it. There's no doubt about it. You know, whatever that might be in different aspects. But just that is, God wants to use us all. God has gifted us equally in different ways. You know, no male is superior than a woman, and no female is superior to a man. God created us equal, and God wants us to work together, be it in marriage, be it in the church, be it together as a family. You know, and I think we need to just kind of portray that in every way. When people come and feel, oh, what is your church? How do your church view male and female? Well, God says we are made equal, you know. God wants us to move in our gifts and that. When I went back to South Africa recently, just for my uncle's funeral, and we had the service, and my mom and I, and said, oh, the only two people that are going to be speaking at the service is going to be myself and my mom. And that, my mom is a very, very strong character. Now, Dave and I, we kind of joke about this because we have a similarity in some way. And my mom said, oh, she's my mom. She's going to be speaking. But I just felt that it was something I needed to say, and it was important. I told my mom, no, mom, you are speaking first. Yeah, I'm finishing it off. And there. Sometimes you get in certain circumstances, and people might say, hold it. Aren't you kind of being a bit of a male there, and you kind of ruling over and those kind of things? Sometimes we mustn't be confused about if God feels we say something and you know, and we say, this is important. You know, I think I've been in so many churches and growing up as a young person where it's come out a male-dominated led church, where the male leads and the women kind of just follow the lead and do whatever they can. It's important that we do have a male leadership in the church, but it's important for the women to basically know where they stand in God. You know, I didn't tell my mom, you go first because I was a male. I told my mom, you go first because I know my mom and I know what she was going to say. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes people look at a service, and especially at my uncle's service. Now, I'm not in South Africa all the time. My mom's there all the time, so everybody knows my mom. Yeah, and I haven't been around for a while. And people look and they think, hold it, why is she speaking first? Should the male speak first? You know, whatever way. I am secure in who I am. I know where I stand in God. And as much as I'm speaking about the equality of women, it's important for us as men to stand firm and say, I know who I am as a man. You know, God has placed me as head of my family, as each of you different ways. God has given you strengths as men on there. And for your wives or the women in the church to be standing strong, equal in God, it's important for the men to stand strong and what's the name, in God as well, and say, yeah, no, this is where I'm standing. Equality across the church, in as much as we kind of view mostly about women, it's important for the men to understand that whole aspect as well. I took this topic for the very reason that when we were going through and looking at what aspects of the church you wanted to talk about, I found that it's important for you to realize that as leaders, we can only do our jobs and be who we are because our relationship with our wives. You know, I value my wife very important. I know Joss and Dave do exactly the same thing. And I hope that those that are married here, you will view your wives with that same view. They're important. They are your partners. You know, and I want us to feel that every female in this church as an important partner of this church as we grow, as we move forward. And that every male, you stand strong and you say, yes, no matter who the female is in the church, I want to stand with them. I want them to move and do everything they can in God. You know, God created a fantastic world. When he finished creating the world, as he said in Genesis, he looked at everything and he said, it's good. And he decided to create male and female in his image, God's image. Yes, we can view God as a God the Father, but as I said, there's so many verses that speaks of the maternal aspect, you know, of God. But God is so great, and God wants us to understand we are all important in God. So my word this morning is, sorry, this afternoon, my word to you is, I want you to all be encouraged by the fact that don't look at the male next to you, or the male, don't look at the female next to you and thinking, they're going to do it. I want you to look at yourself and saying, what has God given me? I've got every gift from God. God has blessed you, some with gifts that others don't have, or we can never even consider having in a lifetime. But God has blessed you with that. Be it prophetic, be it worship, be it whatever way, being just that a caring person, you know, that person that can just get alongside somebody, you know, that thing. But I want us to feel that we're all partners. There is no hierarchy in any way, except, of course, for the leadership of the church, you know, that we have leading the church. But in every other aspect, you know, we are all equal partners. And God created us with that purpose. God created us to look after this world together. God created us to be in this church together. I'm just going to finish off by just praying over us. And I want to encourage you, if you feel there's some parts of what I'm saying, it's a bit difficult, you know, you maybe don't understand, speak to us. Speak to us, please, yeah? Because I think we want to build a foundation that's been built firmly, and we just want to keep building on that in a church, that when we grow, those things are going to be part of us. You know, all of us are together building this church. Father, you created us right at the beginning, male and female, in your image, Lord. You didn't create male and then thought about female. As your word says, Lord, you created us male and female in your image. Every part of us, Lord, that we are, as the world might see, a masculine or female or feminine side, Lord, that's all from you, Lord, all part of you. We're not going to understand how that all fits together, Lord, but you've made us. And Lord, I pray that we all stand firm in who we are, Lord, and that we are encouragers to one another, and that we support one another, Lord, because the world out there, Lord, has such a different view, and depending on where you are in the world, it can be so stark, Lord. But in this church, Lord, we want to be a family of people that encourage and work alongside one another, Lord. Amen.